That previous chapter was an introduction, in a sense, because it covered basic concepts of metabolism and the control of metabolism. How enzymes works is a basic thing that's true for any given biochemical pathway. Now, in this chapter and the next one after this, we're going to focus on some important pathways in particular. And in this chapter, we're going to focus on, actually, it's more than just a pathway, it's multiple pathways. It's an overall process that, despite being named cellular respiration in the chapter, the process I'm talking about is more than just cellular respiration. The process that we're going to focus on in this chapter is called the complete oxidation of glucose. Now, the reason we're focusing on glucose, which is just one of several possible fuels that cells use, is that glucose is the master fuel. It's the most often used fuel in not only your own cells, but all cells in general. And in your own body, glucose is, under normal circumstances, the only kind of fuel that your brain uses, which is why the body has homeostatic mechanisms in place to make sure that your blood continuously has the right level of glucose in it, because without your brain, you're dead. But anyway, it's not humans, only humans, that we're studying in this chapter. We're studying cells in general, of any organism, including unicellular organisms. They use glucose as fuel, just like our own cells do. And fuel in general is just some organic molecule that is rich in carbon-hydrogen bonds or carbon-carbon bonds, both of which have a bunch of energy locked up in them. And we can tap that energy, meaning we can get the energy out of the fuel by oxidizing it. So remember in lab when I first described redox reactions, I said that we're going to be talking a lot more about it in Unit 3. Well, that's where we are, in the middle of Unit 3. So that's what we do to fuels, to use them. We oxidize them. But if you use terminology based on what happens to the size of the molecules, what happens when we oxidize our fuels is that we catabolize them. So oxidation is what happens in terms of what the electrons are doing. We've already been through those definitions. But it's also, you should also think of what we do as to our fuels as being catabolic reactions. And as we were talking about in the previous chapter, catabolic reactions in general can be described by what word with respect to energy? What are catabolic reactions, energetically speaking? Remember the intermediary picture I showed you with ATP? The catabolic reactions were on the left side. What are they? How would you classify those in terms of energy? Exergonic reactions. That's why we call these things fuels, because what we're doing with them is catabolizing them, breaking them into smaller chunks through oxidation reactions, or I should say redox reactions. But what happens to the fuel is oxidation. It gets catabolized and therefore releases energy. The fuel itself is not valuable to us in its own right. It's the energy contained in it that's valuable. But we can only get that energy if we catabolize it. All right? Well, glucose is the main fuel. And as you already know, because you've built glucose and you've looked at its structural formula a bunch of times, there's a bunch of carbon-carbon and carbon-hydrogen bonds in glucose. That's why it is such a good fuel. And if you look at the structural formula of the formulae of the different types of alkanes that are in gasoline, which is a fuel, you see a bunch of carbon-hydrogen bonds, right? That's what alkanes are. A bunch of carbon-hydrogen. They're hydrocarbons. Hydrocarbons make excellent fuels. Glucose is not a hydrocarbon because there's oxygen in there also, but it still has a bunch of carbon-hydrogen bonds, and those are what are valuable as for containing energy. I'll explain why they contain so much available energy in a bit. But anyway, we use glucose as our main fuel. And sometimes we say we burn it, just like you burn gasoline in an internal combustion engine. By burn, really what we're talking about is a specific kind of chemical reaction. A fuel reacted with oxygen, chemically speaking, is a combustion reaction. There's different kinds of chemical reactions, but reaction of an organic fuel with oxygen is called combustion. And that can happen rapidly, in which case, like in the piston of the engine, you put a spark to that, it's going to happen very quickly, and a hell of a lot of energy is going to release all at once. Most of which is wasted as heat, which is why the engine heats up. But a lot of it goes into pushing the piston and therefore turning the drive shaft and propelling you down the road. If you think back to that multi-step hydroelectric plant analogy that I said, of those three things on that slide, that's the most like a cell. And that's because we don't combust our glucose in one step. Instead, it's a bunch of steps, individual reactions in those steps, some of which release just a little bit of energy at a time. In manageable steps, and in many of those steps, as we'll see, that energy that's released can be captured to do what? What are the energy capturing steps going to accomplish? You should already know this from what I've told you last chapter. The energy that's released directly from the fuel is put into phosphorylating ADP to create ATP, which now stores the energy that was in the fuel. Okay, so that's what this overall process is. And the overall process, once again, is called the complete oxidation of glucose. All right, organic molecules here include all the fuels that are possible, but glucose is what we're going to pay attention to mostly. It's the master fuel. Notice, though, it's being reacted with oxygen. That's what makes it a combustion reaction, chemically speaking. Just like if you put a match to a fuel in the presence of oxygen. When that happens, when you combust a fuel, an organic fuel, you make a couple products, carbon dioxide and water. All right, this is why internal combustion engines are so bad and might lead to human extinction, because the CO2 that accumulates has caused, it's a greenhouse gas, so it has caused global warming. But that's what's produced. That's the end product of combustion. CO2 and water get produced. All right. Now the cell is doing this not in one step, but in many steps.
called
collectively the complete oxidation of glucose. That's one of two processes that we see being illustrated in this figure. And only part of that overall process is called cellular respiration, which happens in eukaryotes in a mitochondrion. But that's cellular respiration is just part of this overall process I'm talking about. As we'll see, the overall process, complete oxidation of glucose, exists in two major subparts, the first of which is glycolysis, and then the second of which is cellular respiration. But if you go through the entire process, starting with glucose and oxygen, you end up with CO2 and water. Okay, the other process that's shown here as well, on the top of this cycle shown with the arrows, is photosynthesis, which we'll study in the next chapter. But they're shown here together in this chapter because the complete oxidation of glucose has a reciprocal relationship with photosynthesis, the other major pathway we're going to look at. By reciprocal relationship, what I mean is that each of these pathways, or sets of pathways, each process undoes the other process. This green background that we see in the square, that just represents an ecosystem. As we've already talked about, there is a throughput of energy. Energy enters an ecosystem and then leaves as heat. It flows through it. But materials, matter, get recycled. And a major part of the recycling is the reciprocal relationship between the complete oxidation of glucose and photosynthesis. I said a bit ago that means one process undoes the other. Let's look at what happens with photosynthesis. Photosynthesis starts with CO2 and water and recombines those into organic molecules, which can then be used by the photosynthetic organism, like the plant, as fuel. It also produces oxygen as a byproduct. So the outputs of photosynthesis are the inputs of the complete oxidation of glucose, and the outputs, the products of the complete oxidation of glucose, are the inputs into photosynthesis. They just keep handing it off to each other. The big difference as far as energy is concerned, though, is that overall, or I shouldn't say just energy, the big difference with respect to molecules is that the complete oxidation of glucose is catabolic, right? You're breaking this big fuel molecule into something, CO2, that is worthless as far as fuel is concerned. And I want to remind you about what I defined as organic. Remember that there are some exceptions to the rule that organic molecules contain carbon and something else. I told you that the most important exception for this course is carbon dioxide. CO2 is inorganic. Glucose is organic, obviously, right? It's not only organic, but it has a multi-carbon skeleton, which is part of why it's valuable as a fuel. So the complete oxidation of that glucose involves a complete dismantling of the carbon skeleton and a complete picking off of the hydrogens from that original fuel. That's why you start with a 6-carbon fuel, glucose, with a bunch of hydrogens. You end up with 6 individual 1-carbon CO2s with no hydrogen there. That is the efficient use of the fuel because CO2 can't be broken down for releasing any more energy. All of the hydrogens have been picked off and the carbon skeleton has been dismantled. Some of that energy is lost as heat, which you can't do anything about, but a lot of the energy in the process gets captured in the form of ATP that's produced. That stores the usable energy. CO2 is worthless as a fuel, but it is the raw material that photosynthetic organisms use to make their own organic molecules out of inorganic stuff. And this is something that we consumers can never do. That's the fundamental difference between a producer and a consumer. I've used these words before from ecology. Producers are the only organisms that are capable of taking an inorganic carbon source and incorporating that carbon into organic compounds. All of the consumers, including us and all animals, for instance, all fungi, there's a bunch of consumers, we have to have our carbon already in organic form. Specifically, something that's made by a producer or that comes from a consumer that eats a producer and so on. So it always goes back to a producer being required. A producer, on the other hand, can make its own food and then use that food as fuel. So a plant, remember, from the tour of the cell slide, chapter, has chloroplasts and mitochondria. So it's able to do both of these processes. But we take advantage of the fact that it undergoes photosynthesis so that we can remain alive because we need those organic fuels. All right, we'll stop there.